What's the best short form platform for B2B right now? TikTok, LinkedIn, or YouTube Shorts?
LinkedIn.
I hate to say it, but it's true. What's more important in a video? A great script or a great edit?
A great script.
Mm-hmm. I thought somebody was about to spit out her coffee.
She's like, how dare you?
No, I'm about that script life, you know?
Vertical or horizontal? Who wins in 2026?
Ooh, I'm going to go with horizontal.
We're going back.
Yeah, I think so.
We're going back, baby.
I like it.
I think we are too. Mm. I feel like that's been popping more on LinkedIn.
Right.
Horizontal is so back right now. It's crazy. Hello, and welcome to Talking Slide with Chris Savage. I'm your host, Chris Savage. I'm joined by the one and only Sylvie Lubow. Sylvie, what's up?
What's going on?
You know, having another crazy day. How about yourself?
I just realized I answered a question with a question.
Oh, did you?
Did I?
I'm not sure if you did. Did you? Okay. I can't just keep saying, did you? No. Today, we're getting loud with Adamola Adelakin, founder of A2 Media. We're going to talk about the biggest misconceptions holding marketers back, Adamola's approach to building a video strategy from scratch, and why putting the customer at the center of the story changes everything.
And maybe we'll even inspire you to make your very own video.
I mean, definitely. Okay. Adamola, so good to see you.
You too, man.
Last time we saw you, we were at Inbound together in 2024. Mm-hmm. And you left quite an impression with your many magic tricks.
Yes, well, thank you. That was a lot of fun for me to do. I feel like it's important to leave an impression on the people you meet. So I'm happy that you guys were open to it because you guys were crazy busy. So thank you.
That was truly the highlight. I screamed. I think there's video of it. So
you definitely screamed. And obviously we love screaming on this show. We love it. The podcast is called Talking Too Loud for a reason. So I've got to ask, Adamola, what's got you talking too loud today?
Interactive video. It's got me talking too loud because I feel like not enough companies are implementing it. And just to clarify, interactive video in the sense of, did you watch that thing on Netflix where Black Mirror presented this like choose your own adventure thing, Bandersnatch?
I saw it, but I didn't do it.
Right. Yeah. So the people that did it, they had like a 95% completion rate because they just wanted to see all their options, right? And there's a way to do that on landing pages and in sales emails. And I think Wistia does this as well, where you can have like call to action sort of buttons in your video.
Call to action to another video. Yeah.
Right. And not enough companies are using it. So they're losing people in the first half of their content. And I'm like, if you just give them the option to be in the driver's seat, then they'll actually get through more of your content because they're just curious about where these things go. And as a secondary benefit, they learn what they need to learn for you to close a deal with them. So it frustrates me. I don't know if this is what you meant by talking too loud. That so many companies out there are just sleeping on this opportunity. It's inexpensive. And if you plan it the right way, you can cut your sales time to close in half by by 50%. So it's crazy. And I don't know why companies are not jumping on the opportunity.
When you say that, are there specific like examples? I mean, you obviously can't say the company's name, but like of places where you've gone and helped someone do this and it really, you know, it changed how they thought about like even using video in this use case?
Yeah, absolutely. I can probably mention them because they were acquired, if that's cool. And then if not, we can just take this out.
You know, it's always fun to bleep things. So you just say it and we'll bleep it.
Yeah. So the company that I did this for initially was called and they had two different ICPs that they worked with. And the first video is, are you this or that? And then once they clicked that, it was like, okay, cool. You're probably concerned about these things. What do you want to learn about? And it took people through the process. And by the time they booked a demo, because booking a demo was an option in the video, the people that came to the calls were much more prepared than those that just came in cold. And the salespeople there were like, okay, what are the terms that you want to sign on? And it was crazy, the lift that we saw in conversion rate and time to close, because we just gave them the information that they needed in a fun way.
That's awesome. Do you think it also gave them more agency? Because like they felt like proactively moving forward. Like, it's like, you know, the equivalent of being on a call and someone saying like, this is where I think we are. Do you agree? And they're like, yes. Then you keep going.
Right. As opposed to like a sales deck that's the same every single time.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm really into these days. I'm still trying to convince clients of ours to implement it. And some are listening. Others are frustrating, but we take it day by day.
What's the pushback? Like, why wouldn't someone want to do an interactive feature?
They deprioritize it. So they're like, it's a cool idea, but we need this ad going out next week. So can we just focus on that? And there's always a priority over this thing. And I'm like, hey, listen, we can make this one filming session. You just got to sit down for 2 hours, bang out all these scripts. And then once you're done, we don't have to talk about it again, but just do it. But a lot of them just don't feel that it's the right time, or they're just prioritizing other things.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Because it's also in this world that we're in now where it's much easier to repurpose, recut, reshoot, fill in gaps with AI. Like, you know, it does require, I think, people changing their frame of reference of like even what a video is, right? Like, because 5 years ago, it would be like, okay, I got approval. I have a budget. We're going to make the sales video. It's going to be really sick. We think everyone's going to love it. And it's going to improve conversion rate. And you would do one video. And then today, for a similar budget, not exactly the same, but similar, you're like, all right, we're going to make that one, but we're going to make 6 different versions of it. We're going to put it in all these different places. We're going to treat the data differently. Mm-hmm. And that does require not just like the production has changed, the workflows have changed, the data has changed, but the human behavior has to keep up and change too, or else like you're not going to be able to explore these new use cases.
Absolutely. And for the people that are stepping into it now, and it's like their first bout with video, they're still in the mindset of all it takes is one sick video to convert. And like, they learn pretty quickly that, okay, no matter how much money we put behind this ad wise, like it's not working because like you said, we need to split this up into a few different formats and get in front of people a few different times in order for them to actually take action. So 100% agree.
What do you think is the biggest misconception companies have about video marketing?
Well, according to the State of Wistia report that I read, I actually did. I sent that to every client. That was an amazing piece from you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
Also, yeah, no worries.
The launch. All right, you don't even have to answer. Just we'll cut it there. just
kidding. Right? So I would say the fact that video is too expensive, that's probably a really big misconception because people are like, well, we spoke to some production agencies and they quoted us like $100,000-$200,000 for one video. And I'm like, yeah, you can go that route. It won't work. And you can also go the route of just teaching your employees to be on their iPhone cameras and talking about relevant things. Usually, you can start with frequently asked questions, right? But I would say the fact that it's too expensive, you know, there's always ways to make video work for you that are within your budget. But if you look at it that way, then you'll just never start.
Preach.
That's interesting because I think there's many misconceptions or many barriers that people kind of list at the top, expensive or like, why does this need to be a video and not text? And it feels like half the battle of video is just convincing them that there's real ROI. Mm-hmm. So like what have you seen with your clients where it's just like video could do something that like text never could or that an image never could? Right.
I think the whole concept behind like show don't tell, like there's a lot of clients that are out there trying to text their way to prospects understanding. And I'm like, if you wrote down how to tie your shoelaces to someone who had never done it before, don't you think that'd be a lot harder than just showing them a video of how to do it? And their answer is always yes. And I'm like, well, content applies the same way. Like, you know, 90% of people look at video content from a company before they decide to buy, right? Mm. If you don't have video content, typically what happens is you are putting out a ton of content that's warming up buyers for your competitors, right? So for me, I'm just like, you know, I feel like sometimes it's okay for the ROI to not be immediately visible. We don't have all the tools we need to tell stories like, okay, well, this person watched an ad from A2 Media 2 months ago, and then they woke up in the middle of the night and they were like, we got to buy now, right? Like, you're not always going to be able to tell that story, but how you can tell that story if you're really worried is just before and after, right? Like have your salespeople note down when people consumed content, or like if people are using the same language that you use in your video content, that's a good sign that they're watching. But talking through the fact that like not everything is measurable really kind of like calms clients down, because they're like trying to figure out the answer to everything, and there's sometimes not, you know?
I love that, because the truth is most things in business aren't perfectly measurable. That's just not how it works. And you can't guarantee exactly which slide in a sales deck is going to close the deal. Just like you can't guarantee which video will, but what you can do is make, I like to think of it as informed guesses. And if you make the right guesses and you're trusting, yeah, people see this slide, they watch this video, then those will be part of the right inputs that add up over time. And speaking of the right inputs, let's talk about short form video. See what I did there? You've seen a lot of success with that. What was the aha moment that made you realize that short form could be more than just like nice marketing? It could actually be a growth lever.
Yeah, I think for me on the ad side of things, especially, I found that short form, getting things in front of people in like 15 to 30 seconds was like a huge unlock for us, because I find that the majority of people are trying to pack a ton of information into like a 60 to 90 second clip, and people tune out after 5 to 10 because they're like, well, you know, I know this is for me, but it feels like they're selling me. But if you build intrigue at the top of funnel with short form content, and you lead them somewhere that they can find more information in the way that their brain would be asking for that information, then you stand a much better chance of short form content working for you. What I find typically, and I know you didn't ask this, what I find typically is there's a bunch of companies out there that throw a bunch of shit against the wall, and they're like, okay, as long as it's 45 seconds, 60 seconds, it will eventually convert.
Yeah,
and that doesn't work. So, so it's just like, it's more about planning. If you have short form content that delivers value really quickly, and builds intrigue in a way that people are like, what is that? Or I know that's for me and I need it. And then they go to the next step. That is where the growth comes in. And I find random acts of content are just not the answer, which is where most companies are at right now.
Random acts of content. I like that.
Thank you. I stole it from a friend. He's going to be so pissed when he sees that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you invented that. So congratulations. Yeah, you know, that is interesting, because I think like we've seen a bifurcation with attention, right? Like you either are, we're all incredibly judgmental with our attention, where you just swipe away if something doesn't capture you in that first half a second.
Right.
But also, because now there's long form content on every topic, if you want to go deep, you can go deeper than you've ever gone. And I think about these two things together as like, you need to have the short form that is actually delivers and is useful, but that like adds up to like, well, if you were to watch five of these shorts that are all under a minute, maybe your chances of watching the very long form one that goes in great depth might actually be a great candidate for that. But it almost seems like the conversation is often about like we have short attention spans now, which I'm not sure is true. I just think we spend more time in short attention span land, but also like, I think we spend more time in long form niche content land than we used to as well.
Right. That's just the thing, right? Like the niche part of that is so important, because the feedback that we've been getting recently is we leaned fully into short form content on LinkedIn for like a year. And people were like, hey, it's really great that like you give all this advice. And I'm like, okay, but are you going to buy? And they're like, no. Do you sell something? And I'm like, what is going wrong? What is going wrong here? And what I realized is that for us, it takes longer for short form content to convert. And we found that like the thing about short form content for us is we weren't pitching ever. So people didn't know that we offered a service. We were just giving out advice. When we made the shift to long form content, there was more of a, hey, this is a consultation feeling. So the short form content was really good at getting people to know that we help with video, or we do video, we know stuff about video. But the long form content was really interesting for us as a shift, because now it's like, we know our ICP, here are the problems that you experience, and we're going to take 5 to 10 minutes to walk you through this specific problem that you're having. And our conversion rate's like 3x'd, because we were like, okay,
wow.
It was crazy. I was really shocked, but people were like, okay, now I understand that you have a service and you're speaking exactly to the problems that I have. Whereas before, it was too general. Like, you were speaking about video. We didn't really know where you helped, what you do. And that shift has been monumental for us.
That's amazing. We've tried some stuff recently on LinkedIn that's been quite different for us. And it's been me and our head of production, Chris Levine, and Billy Woodward, who does a bunch of like AI video stuff for us. And we launched a video that was like 15 minutes cut down from like 23. It was like basically an actual meeting. Much longer than you'd ever think would work on LinkedIn. Like 15 minutes of a meeting sounds horrible. but the interesting thing was they're showing me like bleeding edge stuff of what's possible. I'm reacting real time to about what I think the implications are. Then we're having this like conversation. And it's been some of the best performing content we put out in the last month.
Mm.
And I think it is like, if you want to go deep on this topic and understand the implications of how, you know, AI video creation is going to change what our limitations are, then you're like, yeah, I'll easily spend 15 minutes on this, probably spend hours on it, you know? Which is very interesting to see. It's like a, not a thing I expected we would do, but it's something that's really worked.
It's really cool. People are super curious. And, you know, as much as we are talking about AI on LinkedIn and we're in these bubbles that are probably far more advanced than the average person who's just like, what is ChatGPT? Like, there are so many things out there that, you know, we don't know about and we're testing now that people are curious about. And that's going to be the case for a long time.
Okay. We're going down a deep rabbit hole. I want to pull us back up again. What's your favorite video campaign you've ever worked on?
Ooh, good question. I think it's one of the first video campaigns that I've worked on full time. So back in the day, I was head of production at this company called Reveal, and it was my first creative role. So it was quite like, why did these guys hire me? Like, I've just made some stuff on Instagram. I don't really understand what the decision process was behind this, but
it took a guess.
Right? It took a guess. Yeah, I like that. And what we did at the time, I didn't know what category creation was, but I learned very quickly that these guys were like, you know, we have something that we want to put out into the market. And I was like, tell me more. And they're like, well, you know what inbound is? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, you know what outbound is? And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, where are you going with this? And they're like, we're a partnerships company. We're a partner tech. We want a word to describe selling through your network. And I was like, okay, so like selling through partners, having a partner. And they're like, yeah, so we're going to call it Nearbound. And I was like, huh, I actually like that word. I thought I was going to be disgusted, but that's great. So what we did was we started making campaigns around this word, Nearbound. We'd throw it around like everyone was already saying it. We would make a Nearbound series where one of my best friends and I, we would just like mess around on camera. I can't even describe the category, the genre that we made of content. But then on top of that, we were like putting out webinars and pieces of content about people talking about Nearbound using this word. And after 6 months of doing that, we found that people who are in our, were in our network or similar companies were putting must have Nearbound experience on job off on job
descriptions.
Yeah. Job descriptions. They were using it in their terminology. They were changing their website copy to Nearbound platform, that sort of thing. And I was like, it is insane that you can just say something a bunch of times and people will just pick it up if it's catchy. And if you have a good campaign around it. So I would say that's like number one. Because
that's amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was really fun.
It's very hard to do that. I know a lot of people who have attempted that.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge to get people to use the language.
Yeah. Stop trying to make fetch happen. You know, that's where my brain goes.
Right.
I want to go back to the strategy level. So when you're building a video strategy for a company, where do you begin?
Yeah. I would say the very first question is, what is everything that your prospects need to believe before working with you? That usually gives us the roadmap for, okay, if they need to believe, if they need these five questions answered, then we need to hit these five topics all the time. And then we can figure out what pieces of content to put where at the right time so they feel supported through that process. And then if it's okay, I'll ask a second or tell you the second question, which is typically, who's the enemy, right?
Spicy.
Appreciate it. Is it like a competitor? Is it an approach? Is it beliefs? Right. And that gives people
themselves?
Is it right? Should you go out of business right now?
Yeah. Time to call it.
Right. Self-deprecating. No, but those are the two top questions that I ask. And I find that it really resets their mind because they're like, well, in every video, we just need to sell. And I'm like, actually, you need to support people who would eventually buy from you. So let's think about it that way.
Yeah, I love that.
Another thing that I would say, positioning your scripts and your video content, your written content, to put the prospect and customer as the hero versus this is why we are so great. So typically what I see is like, we're an AI first company, here are all our features. And I'm like, garbage, trash, throw it away, right? But the companies that are like, here's who you are, here are the experiences that you're having, agitate the pain a little bit more, get into the journey of like getting to where they want to be, and then being like, here's who we are. Does it make sense? You want to date? Those are the scripts and companies that do really well. And I'm generalizing. There's a bunch of different ways to do that. But the amount of content that I see that's like company first and here's why we're the best and they all use the same language, that frustrates me because you see stuff working out there that like, you see stuff that has a ton of likes and comments and you're like, that's what works, or this went viral, so it worked. But the stuff that does really well, I find, is more targeted. Even though like they have less impressions and less reach, they're better at converting because they tell a better story. So I would say there's not enough companies out there, A, telling a good story, and B, putting the customer as the hero of the story. And I'd like to see that more.
That is interesting to start with the you instead of the I or the we.
Right. I think what really changed my mind, and I'm like an avid TikTok consumer. So about 2 years ago, I got served up this video that was like, hey, if you're watching this, you're probably a black guy that lives in Toronto and you work in tech. And I was like, what is happening right now? Right? I watched that entire video because I was like, I need to hear whatever else this person has to say.
Yeah, why are they talking directly? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That is the way, because if she had started like, hey, like all about herself, there's a chance I would have scrolled away from that video, even though she gets into that information later on. So I just think there needs to be a reversal of how we approach people in the market.
That is very interesting. Do you think in that case, they made like a lot of different videos for different demographics of people, or were they actually only talking to you and that became clear through their other content?
I think probably the former. So they probably just tested it out to see, okay, well, if I can speak to this audience, how many people can I get? In the same way that if I made a video, if I made 52 videos and I'm like, the card you chose is the Ace of Spades, Ace of Diamonds, Ace of Hearts, it would eventually be served up to the right audience. But I think it was to demonstrate how good TikTok's targeting was. And I wouldn't be surprised if you made more, you know?
But that's so interesting because that, and thank you for sharing that story, because I think that people, you know, we talk about like interest-based media instead of just social media.
Yeah.
And I think we experience it, but everyone doesn't really know what that means. Like it's too easy to like fly on by it. And I would think what you're talking about is like what it means is that it actually is served to the right person. Like the targeting is that good. And so there is actually a freedom in that, I think, that we haven't been really, those of us making those product videos, those customer story videos and stuff, haven't really experienced, which is, hey, if I'm going to do this and put it on the platform, I shouldn't be super generalized. I should be hyper specific on who it's for. And that should get it so that the right people actually end up seeing it, which is just kind of, it's like simple and it's beautiful in its simplicity in a way, but it's not the way that it's worked until very recently.
Right, right. Because our attention spans, you know, they're either super short or super long. It's only super long if you feel like it's made directly for you, like we mentioned earlier. Another thing that changed my mind really quickly is, I think it was Alex Hormozi who was talking about these guys that were going for a lot of reach on YouTube. And they just decided, you know what? What are the things that are like best customers need to know? So we'll just make content about that. They made like 5 30-minute videos going deep into a problem that their best customers were going through. And they went from having like 5 to 10K months to 100K months. And you look at their impressions and it's like under 1,000. So they were just like, anyone who's watching these, after they watch 3 to 5 videos, they trust us way more because they know it's specifically for them. And they work with us because they've had 2.5 hours with us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's some gold in there. There's a lot of gold in that moment, I think.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like it's a risk, right? To go that niche, to talk that explicitly to like one customer segment. But like you're saying that the payoff is that trust that compounds.
It feels really scary to niche down. But the truth is, you might get something, you might make something that has way fewer views than you ever imagined, but the impact of it is much greater than you could have imagined, because all the right people it resonates for. And so it's about, this is like so trite and said so much, it's about knowing your customer and understanding their pain, but actually making it for that core person is very freeing in a lot of ways, because it's the thing, if you're everything, then you're nothing, right? If you tell people I can do everything under the sun, they're like, they don't know what to use you for. But if you say I can do this one thing incredibly well for people who have this exact problem, who live in this area, think about this issue, have this budget, then all those people, if they actually see that, it'll be huge.
Absolutely. And you can drive your prices up because of that too. Like, you know, when you go to a doctor, they refer you to a specialist for a reason, right? And if you're the specialist and you advertise and you're like, hey, we only help people who are over 65 that live in this region, they're under this demographic. It's just like, okay, well, my market's a lot smaller, but I know those people will feel seen. So I'm going to charge 10 times more. And like, just got to be comfortable with that.
Specialists.
Yeah.
When it comes to storytelling on video, what do you think makes a story truly great?
I asked one of my friends, his name's Darren Fenton. He worked in Hollywood for about 10 years. And I said to him, if you had to highlight one key thing for storytelling, what would it be? And he said, transformation. And I was like, bro, did you answer this question before? Like, how did you have that so quickly? And he was like, if you can speak to the transformation or show a transformation from bad to good, or from, you know, unhealthy to healthy, those are the stories that people lock into. And you have to demonstrate some form of transformation in any story that you tell. And I was like, that is like my guiding force for anyone that tells stories now. I'm like, where are you taking people from and where are they going? We have to put that in there in some capacity. And it has never steered me wrong.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Animal, thank you so much for joining us today. This is super fun. Where can people connect with you, learn more, work with you? Where should they go?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Adamola Adelakin. It's spelled the way that it sounds. Good luck on LinkedIn. And you can find me either on LinkedIn or at our website, a2media.ca, because we're Canadian.
Amazing.
Go Canada.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming by. Bye.
Thank you guys. This was a ton of fun.
This was chaotic, but it was fun.
Good chaos.
Yeah.
You know what I can't help but think about at the end of this interview is just how ultimately everything Adamola is talking about, the whole conversation, I think we can wrap it up with, it really just comes down to telling the right story in the right place, right? Like, that's what this is about. It's like, if someone's just scrolling through their phone, I have to tell a story, you have to tell a story that makes sense in the first blink of an eye, in the first instinct to get them to pay attention. But over time, if they start to trust you and know that you tell really good stories and you care and you understand the niche that they're in, the thing they're trying to research, the thing that they're trying to understand, yeah, they will watch longer form videos. They will engage more. And it really all is about story.
Yeah, I think the way you put it actually was great. Like, short form feels like starting a convo, long form feels like ending a convo. And like, you can really... there's opportunity for companies to really expand both.
Yes.
So get cracking. Get crack-a-lackin'.
Get cracking. Get cracking in. Get out there. Fight those sea monsters. And that seems like a good time to say goodbye. We'll see you in a couple weeks. But until then, don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you consume it. We'd love your feedback. You can always message me or Sylvie on LinkedIn, or you can email us at ttailpod@wistia.com. And until next time, stay cool. Is that the third time I've done that? I don't know.
I think
second.
So.
Okay, good.
Third time's a charm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Talking Too Loud is brought to you by Wistia. Hosted by Chris Savage, produced by me, Sylvie Lubau, along with Adam Day. executive produced by Wistia Studios. This episode was mixed by Maria Passingham. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, rate and review us wherever you listen. And check out more content from Wistia Studios at wistia.com.